Okay, let's start again. The concept which we are introducing now is the famous reverberation time. So this is probably the most important lesson of the whole course this year, because the concept of reverberation time is central to acoustics. It was actually the born of modern acoustics. Reverberation time was a quantity invented by Professor Wallace Clement Sabin in Boston in 1902, so 110 years ago, and it is considered the milestone of modern acoustics, because before the invention of this quantity, the acoustical evaluation of what happens in a room was just empirical, anecdotal. Some rooms had good acoustics, some other had bad acoustics, and there was no clear evaluation of the reason, the technical reason, for the difference between different rooms. Reverberation time is a concept related with the sound decay in time, the so-called sound tail, reverberant tail. What happens when inside a room we abruptly switch it on before the sound source was not working? We start bringing the source on and waiting a while until the system reaches a steady state, and once we have got the steady state, then again abruptly we switch the source off. There are transient in time, there is a switch on transient and a switch off transient, and these transients take time, of course, to complete. When we switch on the source, the sound energy density starts increasing, but the increase is very fast at the beginning and then becomes slower and slower until we reach an equilibrium in which as much power is radiated by the source in 1 second as the same power is dissipated or absorbed by the wall in 1 second. This is the steady state sound energy density, which is an equilibrium among what I pour in and what flows out. Now we will create a very simple example for explaining this equilibrium between how much we pour in and how much it flows out. Let me think to have a vessel or to have a cup, a recipient, a vase, I don't know. Okay, you have a recipient like this one, and we have a pipe pouring water inside. So this is a pipe through which water falls down in the recipient. If the recipient is perfectly sealed, the level of water inside the recipient starts increasing and it continues indefinitely to increase until the water falls out by the border of this vessel. But what happens if there is some hole in the bottom of the recipient? If there are holes in the bottom of the recipient, some water spills out through the holes. Depending on the amount of water which you pour in and the amount of water which spills out, an equilibrium is reached. And at that equilibrium, the level of water inside the recipient will stay constant. This is what happens in the room. The room is continuously leaking sound at the boundaries but it's continuously getting new sounds from the sound source. When the energy balance is in balance, as much energy comes in, as much energy comes out, and the level is steady. So you have this increasing energy line towards the steady state level at this point, we switch off the source. When you switch off the source, the vessel doesn't empty instantaneously. Okay, no more water is coming from this pipe here, but still the vessel was full of water. It takes time to empty. And as the level inside the vessel decreases, the water flow through the hole diminishes. Is not the same flow. The flow is proportional to the height of water over the hole. As the height of the water is decreasing, the flow is reducing. So the decay is not a constant decay. You have this kind of exponential decay of the energy inside the room. Okay? But what happens if we transfer the chart from energy density to sound pressure level in decibel? With the value in dB, the switch-on transient is more or less the same. Simply, perhaps, it look more curved, but it's not so relevant. What is really interesting is what happens to the decay. Instead of having an exponential decay when you switch off the source, now you get a perfect straight line. The decay is linear in decibel versus time in seconds. So you have a constant slow decay when you switch off the source. Having a constant slope means that knowing the slope means knowing about the acoustics of the room. This is the concept of the reverberation time. The reverberation time is a strange way of expressing this slope. Normally, this slope will be expressed by a quantity in dB per second. And we could say, okay, in this room, the decay rate is, for example, 8 dB second, okay? A slope in decibel versus time should be expressed in a unit of dB per second. Instead of expressing this slope in dB per second, the reverberation time was defined the opposite way. How much time it takes for decaying a certain number of decibels. And the number of decibels to decay, which was defined by Professor Sabin, was 60 decibels. Why he defined the nominal duration of the decay to be for 60 decibels? Because in his main classroom at the MIT University in Boston, the distance between the sound produced by the organ which was installed in that auditorium and the background noise was 60 decibels. So with his ears and a stopwatch, he was measuring the time between he released the key on the keyboard of the organ and the instant in which the sound disappeared under the background noise. As this distance was 60 decibels, the time which he was measuring in that particular room was defined as the reverberation time, as the time required for a decay of 60 decibels. Because 60 is not really a round number. Okay, in terms of energy density, 6 decibels means 1 millionth 1/1 million, the energy reduced to 10^-6, the value which was at the beginning of the decay, okay? 10^-6, if that was unity. So this is the formal definition of the reverberation time. What happens in practice? Does the sound really decay by 60 decibels in a room? Well, first of all, the decay is not the continuous smooth line which you would expect by this chart here. Here it's very smooth. If you go and measure, it's not so smooth. Why is not so smooth? Because every time a single discrete reflection goes away, you lose a single discrete contribution to the total energy. So actually the curve is not a curve, it's like gradons. Okay, at the beginning the gradons are large. At the end the gradons are very, very small. So it really approximates a continuous decaying line. But at the beginning, for a certain number of decibels, you really see those gradons. So, talking about a line of constant slope when you bring this axis in decibel is not really true, is not really correct. The second problem is with background noise. Let me try to make a chart, a new chart. Let me try to make our own chart much more realistic than the one before. Here we have time, here we have sound pressure level in decibel, okay. How is a real chart? Here is a value in dB. Oops, sorry, excuse me. Here we have LP in dB, which is what the sound level meter measures. And here we have time in second. Okay. What happens in reality? Until the sound source was on, we had an almost perfectly constant level. At a certain time, the direct sound goes away, dies. So the sound level falls for a couple of decibels, let's say. Then, for a small piece of time, the sound is still constant. After a second time of flight, the first reflection goes away. And so we see another small gradon. Again, the sound level stays constant for a while. But now the times are shorter because the reflection start to become very close each other. So these gradons are still there, but are smaller and smaller. And after 3, 4, 5 of these gradons, always smaller and smaller and smaller. Let me zoom a little. Okay, now the drawing is not really well done, but so you have 2 or 3 of these small gradons. After 2 or 3 of these small gradons, you really start seeing a decay, as the theory predicts, a smooth decay curve coming down. So after a while, you get a very nice decay here, going down with a certain slope. Now, at this point, something other is appearing. When you are here, there is some background noise. Let's say that there is a background noise value like this one. because a room is never perfectly silent, there is always some background noise. So we get some curve which approximate gently, asymptotically, the background noise. Okay, this is what's happening in reality. Now, let me try to make all of these blue, just for making it easier to see. Nah. Okay. And here you have a chart which is now much more realistic of what's happening really inside the room. Okay? The distance between this value and this one usually is not 60 decibels. In most cases, this distance is less than 60 decibels because you don't have a very powerful organ like Mr. Sedin had in this room. Perhaps in a typical case, I would say, this distance could be something like 45 dB or 50 perhaps if you are lucky, but not 60. So if you apply the definition of reverberation time, you will always find infinite, because it takes an infinite time from here to reach a level which is 60 dB below. You never reach a level which is 60 dB below. So the conclusion will be that in most rooms the reverberation time is infinite. That's wrong. That is not the correct concept. The concept is that reverberation time is defined as a decay of 60 decibels, but its true meaning is the slope of the curve covering this area. What we are really interested in, how large or small is the slope in this intermediate striped piece of the decay. Discarding what happens here, which is an initial part of the decay, something in which we are not really too much interested, because what's happening here is dependent strongly on the position. If you are close to a reflecting surface or you are far from that, or if you are close to the source or far from the source, those gradients change. They are position dependent, these gradients. Instead, this kind of decay is the same everywhere in the room. Okay? So we are not interested in this initial part. And again, we are not interested in this final part here, because this final part here is due to the background noise. And who cares about the background noise? We are trying to define a parameter, the reverberation time, which is a characteristic parameter on the room. If I switch off this heating system, the background noise changes, but the acoustical behavior of the room does not change. So the reverberation time is actually a strange way of defining the slope of this line. How can we have a value of reverberation time which gives you what we want, the slope of this central part of the decay? The trick is as follows. And it is what the current international standard mandates. The current international standard is called ISO 3382, and it was revised very recently in 2011, 1 year ago, more or less. So that is the latest revision of the standard. The standard is quite old, of course. But this standard requires to compute not a reverberation time over a decay of 60 decibels, but the standard mandates or recommends because a standard is not a law, recommends to measure the time for a decay which starts in this point, which ends in this point, and these two points, here and here, are defined at two very precise values, which are minus 5 dB, minus relative to the steady state level here, of course. So the first point of the line is chosen at minus 5 decibel below the steady state level, which I had before the decay did begin, and we terminate the decay, the analysis of the decay, at this other point here, where the level is minus 25 decibels. Okay? In most rooms, we find a perfectly straight decay of 20 decibels. 30 is already too much in many rooms. 40 is already impossible. So 60 is completely impossible. So we measure this time, the time between this point here and this point here. Okay, we have this time here below, but of course this is not the reverberation time, because the reverberation time was defined over a decay of not 20 but 60 decibels. This will be the time required for a decay of 20 dB. Instead, the standard tell you to make a very simple thing. Take this decay time three times. Okay? If you take this three times, one after the other, it is like extrapolating this decay, making it longer and longer with the same slope, of course, and what you have got here is what we really call the reverberation time. One moment. Okay. So the reverberation time is this one, three times the decay of 20 dB, measured by minus 5 to minus 25 decibel below the steady state level. This is called the true reverberation time. The name employed in the standard for defining this particular reverberation time is T20. Or for being more precise, T subscript 20. Okay? Be aware that T20 is this wall length. T20 is not this one. This one is not T20. T20 is not the time for decaying 20 decibels. It's still the time for decaying 60, extrapolated by a 20 dB decay. But this is T20, the wall length. Because every reverberation time is always defined on a nominal decay of 60 decibels, even is extrapolated by analyzing a piece of decay which is only 20 dB long. Okay? This is the concept of T20 following ISO 3382. The standard also defines theory. So in reality, in the standard, we have a number of reverberation terms. There is T20, there is T30, we have a T10, which is unused in practice. It's defined, but no one is going to use T10. And we have ADT, Early Decay Time. Now, we will see every one of these, how is defined. T20 is defined in the range -5, -25. T30 is -5, -35. Okay? T10 not used, but is defined as extrapolated by the range -5, -15. For all of these three, you measure the time between these two limits and multiply by a number of times so that the decay is again nominally 60 decibels. So T1 is multiplied by 3. This one is multiplied just by 2 because it was already 30 dB. So you just have to double this length for getting T60. Then this one will be multiplied 6 times, because it is in the range of just 10 decibels, but nominally, again, it is required to extrapolate it to 60 decibels. The last one is early decay time. Early decay time is, it is defined in the range 0/-10. So it starts from 0, it starts from here, you see. So it contains those gradients. All the traditional reverberation time values are position independent because they are measured along this reverberant field decay, which is substantially the same in every point of the room. So we can say that this room has a reverberation time of 1.2 seconds perhaps. And is a concept which is true everywhere in the room. But you cannot say that the early decay time in this room is 0.8 seconds, because this can be true for a particular position of the source and the receiver. But if you move the receiver around, you will find very different value of the early decay time, and particularly going close to the source, the initial gradient becomes much bigger at the point that the early decay time always tends to zero if you go very close to the source. If you come closer than the critical distance, early decay time becomes almost zero, because the sound field is dominated by the direct sound, which decays instantaneously as you switch off the source. The direct sound, by definition, vanish in no time. As you switch the source, poof, the direct sound is gone. Okay? It is the reflection which takes time because they travel over longer distance. But if you are very close to the source, most of the energy is direct sound, which vanish in zero time. So early decay time tend to zero coming in the source. Instead, if you go very far from the source, early decay time tends to T10, becomes almost equal to T10 in far field. If the decay is perfectly linear, T20 is equal to T30, which is equal to T10. They don't change. If the room is strange, because it has a secondary additional room on one side, and energy goes back and forth between the main room and the smaller room. Or if there are things in the room which make the decay not linear in general, then these three values can differ each other. In 99% of room, all those funny things don't happen. In most room, the reverberation time is a perfect constant quantity measured everywhere, and it is the same if measured over 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 decibels. Of course, the measurement range must not be contaminated by the background noise, and according to the ISO standard, for the measurement to be correct, the end point of the decay, in this case the point here where I have the mouse now, this small circle here, this point must lie at least 15 decibels above the background noise level. If this point is at least 15 decibels more than the background noise level, there is no effect of the background noise level on the slope of the decay, and the measurement is okay according to this standard. If the end of the decay comes within 15 decibels from the final value of the background noise, then the measurement is not correct, and you have to repeat it with a much powerful sound source, so that you start from a louder level and all the curve goes up, so you get a better signal to noise ratio, and this is one possibility. The other possibility is, like now, the air conditioning has been switched off just in the perfect moment in which I did need it. It was not made by purpose, but it happened. And at this point, the background noise is now 10 decibels lower without that very annoying noise of the fans. So if we repeat the measurement now, this one went down by 10 decibels, hope, and also this one goes here, and now we have a much longer decay, and with a much longer decay, now the measurement is okay, even if the source is the same as before, because we reduced the background noise level. Okay, so we have these two possibilities. In most rooms, T20 is quite easy to measure. If the room is terribly noisy, like in a factory, in a workshop, where they are hammering over steel all the day, of course, there measuring reverberation time can be a trouble. But in normal room, you just please ask everyone to stay silent, you make your noise, switch off the source, and you stop the measurement. In a few seconds you measure the reverberation time and there was no problem. Now we are going to try some this type of measurement, but I have not today good equipment. I am just using the small speaker here and the microphone of the computer itself, so don't expect a very nice measurement. During the next lesson, we will repeat this room acoustic measurement with much better equipment here in this room. And we also will repeat this measurement during the lab session in January in the lab, where every one of you will have to repeat this kind of room acoustic measurement. For today, we just make it very, very roughly. Let's try if it works. We use the Spectra Plus software, which actually captures not only the sound pressure level, but also the spectrum in octave bands. Let me see first if the program is running correctly. Pa, pa, pa. Okay, more or less it's running. I don't see what we are looking here, because the averaging is infinite. Pa. Okay, that's my voice being analyzed in real time in octave bands. We have here the possibility to generate the noise. Anything I think is white noise. Let me use okay, so now for making the measurement, we need to play this test signal, switch it off, and sample the sound a long time for a few seconds for looking at the decay of the sound. Let me get more sound level from the sound card. Let me try how it. A little too loud. Try it. Okay, the measurement will be terrible because the signal to noise ratio of this equipment is small, but let me try. Utilities, there is a subroutine. Reverberation time, which is similar. Maximum decay time for this room, 5 seconds, is plenty enough. Decay start time offset, millisecond. Let me say 100 millisecond. Measure RT20, let me try. That is the most common one. See what happens. No. It's not going. Pa. Utilities. Bring this to zero again. Measurement control. Okay. Reverberation time, start. Ops. Ho fatto una cagata. Dove cavolo è finita quella finestrella là? Ok, these are the data measured. It shows you the reverberation time at every frequency. But what I think is interesting for you is looking at the decay plot. Now the signal to noise ratio is very bad in this case, because you see the decay was very quick, and you see very badly the decay. Perhaps at higher frequency is better. This is some noise occurred after the decay, because the decay starts here. Is a bad measurement. Now, just for showing you, I load a better measurement so you see better what happens in a real room. Okay, this is a more realistic case in a large room. The decay is not perfectly smooth. This is a real measurement in the real world. And you see the reverberation time is measured from the point at minus 5 decibel to the point at minus 25. And the difference in time between these two points is multiplied by 3 times for showing you verrà da schifo anche adesso. Non lo salvo neanche perché fa troppo cagare. Ok. Curious see the reverberation time versus frequency of this large room measurement and you see values of ranging between 2 and 3 seconds. It's quite normal to see larger value of reverberation time at very low frequency and progressively reducing reverberation time towards medium and high frequency. Particularly at very high frequency, higher absorption, the phenomenon which you already learned about in outdoor propagation, you have seen probably that table. The absorption of air increases with the square of frequency. So at very high frequency, higher absorption becomes important and contributes in reducing the reverberation time significantly. At 10 kHz, usually higher absorption is really huge, and the sound decays in fraction of a second, independently on the properties of the walls, because it is the air itself which is destroying the sound, transforming it into hertz. Okay. Now, before we finish this lesson, we have to introduce the last part of the presentation, which is the Sabin formula. I told you, let me write here in the title, not reverberation time, but Sabine's formula. The reverberation time was invented by Professor Sabin in Boston in 1902. And he did not only define the concept and explained how to measure it, but he did also find the way of predicting the reverberation time of a not existing room. So when you are designing a new room, you can know in advance how large will be the reverberation time in that room. That is really powerful because it allows to predict the value of reverberation time depending on the choice of materials which you use for the surface inside the room. If you choose to have a floor like this one, which is very reflecting, you know by this formula that the total absorption will be small and hence the reverberation time will be large. If instead you use a carpet on the floor, apart the hygienic problem, but from an acoustical point of view, if you place the carpet on the floor, then you have a lot of absorption because the absorption coefficient of carpet is 0.3, which is quite large. Then you get a lot of absorption area here. Of course, it depends on the volume of your room, because if the room is a very huge sport arena with 10,000 seats, there getting the reverberation time to be small is very hard, because in a very large volume you tend to always save a lot of reverberation. Or like in a cathedral, like in the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris, there is a volume of 200,000 cubic meters. It's very difficult to keep the reverberation time at a small value when the volume V is very huge. Okay? Instead, when the volume is small, like in your bathroom, you know, a lot of people love to sing in the bathroom. The bathroom usually is a very interesting acoustical space because the walls are reflective. So really the reflecting energy is there. the sound bounce thousands of times between the walls of the bathroom, because everything is very reflective, is made of ceramic, so a material which has a very small absorption coefficient. But still the room is small, so you don't get the confusing reverberation of a Gothic cathedral. So it can really have a good acoustic bathroom. It can have an intermediate value of reverberation time of, say, 2 seconds, which is good for music, and still a lot of reflected energy, so your voice sounds powerful. You appear to be a tenor with an incredibly powerful voice, which is not the case, of course, but inside the bathroom, the effect is this one. Okay? So this formula relates volume with absorption, bringing you the reverberation time. Together with the sound pressure level formula, which we have seen before, we see how the absorption of a room affects both the energetic factor, the sound pressure level, and the quality factor, because the reverberation time is not only an energetical meaning, but it starts to carry also a sound quality meaning. The sound is very dry and dead if the reverberation time is too short, and the sound is very wet and reverberant and mixed up and confused if the reverberation time is very long. During the next lesson we will make a computer simulation of small room and big room, and we will be able to hear the voice, how it sounds different in a dry room and in a reverberant room. So this really is affecting the sound quality, okay? We can also reverse this formula. One of the easy way of reversing this formula is I measure the reverberation time and I use this formula reversed for estimating, for knowing, not for estimating, for measuring the equivalent area of acoustic absorption of my room. Because the measurement of reverberation time is very easy, as I've shown you before. You just switch on your source, then you switch off, measure the decay, and the software automatically computes the slopes and gives you the reverberation time value in seconds. It's a measure which takes a few seconds and cheap equipment. It's not difficult to measure reverberation time. Instead, measuring directly the absorption coefficient of material is not that easy. We will talk about the method for measuring the absorption coefficient alpha in next lesson, and you will see that those methods are complex and tricky and difficult. Instead, an indirect measurement through the Sabin formula and the reverberation time is very, very easy. So if we reverse this formula, we get this one. The total acoustical absorption area of a room is 0.16 multiplied the volume and divided the reverberation time. Here reverberation time is called T60, but remember that you cannot in practice measure T60. You are going to measure T20 in most cases, but it's the same, because also T20 is referred to a 60 dB decay. So these formulas, albeit Mr. Sabin did introduce this formula for his reverberation time, which was really measured over 60 decibels, but in practice, with the trick of always expanding the decay to 60 dB, even if you measure a decay of just 20 dB, the formula still holds without any modification, also with T20. So here it's written T60, but you can also write T20. Excuse me. You can write something like T20 equal to
Okay.
T60 equal T20 equal the saving formula. And so here on the right side, you can write T20 in the denominator is worth the same. Final step, we substitute the value of large A inside the formula of the critical distance. You remember here there was written alpha per S, and instead of alpha per S, which means large A, we can write his expression given by the Sabine formula, and we get this final expression here. So the critical distance is proportional to the volume of the room. The larger the room, the larger is in general the critical distance, and instead the critical distance is the shorter as the T60, the reverberation time value, is large. A very large value of T60 brings the critical distance to be small. Okay? Okay. End of lesson 2.